Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Back to Eve Buckets Fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome. It is John O'Sullivan from the Irish Pagan School and we are here with another weekly check-in, chat and coffee talk. So today I have another great community question from our people over in Patreon. But before we dive over there to answer it, I just wanted to remind you that, you know, as usual, we have that free resource available from the Irish Pagan School. And there's a free resource about good resources. We get a frequently asked question many, many times. Is this a good book? What are our thoughts on this? What are our thoughts on that? Actually, I might be able to add in an extra little question here. Someone recently asked us about what are our thoughts on Gods and Fighting Men by Lady Gregory. And it is one of those ones that, like, you know, should it be on our review list? Should it not be on our review list? Because Lady Gregory, Lady Esperanza Gregory, the mother of Oscar Wilde, the very famous writer in Ireland, was a folklorist in many ways. She kind of wanted to kind of capture as many kind of old stories as she could when she was around Ireland herself. But what happened with her work was that it was very much romanticized. It was very much kind of taken and used in the vein of other kind of European styles of kind of lore or mythology. And so some of the core content in it is really, really good because, again, the sources and the original kind of connections are there through it. But we have to also kind of put her in the same category as people like Yeats, like the early kind of Irish romanticists who, you know, very much leveraged our ancient mythology to kind of tell their own story or to tell a version of things that suited their needs. It's an aspect. It's almost like an homage to the original kind of lore. But that's what I was raised with. I was raised with, you know, the kind of modern retellings and the modern versions of it. And it's only now that I've gone back and I'm reading the original translations by, say, Whitley Stokes and Elizabeth Gray. Like, you know, the older stuff is so much more rich. It's so much more fulfilling. So it's almost like, you know, going out to get a bite to eat and you can either stop off at a fast food place and pick up your maybe bit of Yeats, bit of Lady Gregory. It'll keep you going. Or you could actually go out and get like an actual sit down hearty meal that will sustain you by going back to the original lores. But it's hard to know. It really is absolutely hard to know. Like, you know, is this a good resource? Is it not? Is this individual like problematic or not? Is this appropriate of content or from a native source? It can be very confusing. So we try our best to provide a list of those resources, and that is available to you for free. All you got to do is pop down into the description, join onto our mailing list, which gets you reminders about when we're doing these videos and when things come out, but also our monthly hangout sessions and then any classes when they come out at the end of the month. But it also means that you gain access to a downloadable PDF of good resources from ourselves at the Irish Pagan School. So that is available to please go feel free to pick it up and join us on that list. So the question I have today, it's a community question from someone, and it's not uncommon. But I kind of have touched on this before in like videos like Distance with Deity. You'll also find on our YouTube channel if you go back through it there. But I wanted to make sure I pulled out this question and answered it directly. So this one came into us and it is, well, hi guys, not sure if it's Laura or John or anyone else in the amazing community answering this. Hi, it's John. But most of the time I feel lost with my journey as a pagan and witch. I felt the call of the Morrigan as a teen, but the information at the time intimidated me and I was too tired of fighting and battles that I think I chose to ignore her call. But now I believe that she calls me and I feel disconnected from her, but I'm trying to reconnect. I feel because I'm so far away from her sacred places and her essence that it is so much harder to really tune in to her energy and being. I read the lore and I read the recommended books, but I truly feel I lost something when I ignored her first call. What would you recommend to reconnect with her? Thanks for your time and patience. Yours sincerely, Lindsay. So, Lindsay, yeah, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon, but also you haven't done anything wrong. And that's where I would like to maybe kind of start this response for you, if that makes sense. There's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That's kind of works in both ways. You kind of need to be in a position, you need to be open to learning, to growth and to change, to actually find growth and change. If you're resistant to it, you won't really find it, or what you will find will not be as impactful or not be the kind of the change that you're looking for or as fulfilling as it really could or should be. So the first thing I would say in this circumstance is, you know, forgive yourself, you know, let go of any kind of hesitation or guilt you might be feeling about having not been ready at the time or not been ready the first time that you felt a call. And this applies to any kind of deity out there or any kind of person's spiritual growth, because we have to acknowledge, okay, in my own philosophy about things, I'm a physical being, you know, I'm an intellectual being, I'm an emotional being, but I'm also a spiritual being. And in the same way, I have now 4 decades of growth as a physical being, you know, I don't like a couple of decades worth of growth as an intellectual being, because, you know, you have to go through physical maturity before you really begin to grow into your personality, into, you know, your 18 and beyond, really, when your brain finally settles down, all the hormones get out of the way. And as an emotional being, I've actually put my emotional growth very much younger because of the upbringing I had in I had a lovely upbringing at home. My parents were fantastically accepting and encouraging about emotion. But the society I was raised in was, you're a boy, put up and shut up, boys don't cry, like all of that kind of like really hurtful program that invalidated my emotions. So it took me a while to get over that and to get on with my emotional growth, really. So those are all elements of what makes me me. And those same things apply to spirituality. When we begin to kind of grow in our spiritual like path, it's not going to be always easy. You don't just go straight from, you know, crawling to sprinting. You know, you have to first get upright. You then have to stagger. You'll stumble. You then have to walk, or well, crawl and then walk. And then again, you get up to like moving, like fast walking, and then running, and then running to sprinting. Like all of these things are a process. And the same kind of methodology is what I apply when it comes to spirituality. The idea that, you know, everyone starts from a very particular place, or starts from a place of not knowing, not having experience, not having kind of context to really fully understand or appreciate what it is that could be coming along. And sometimes you get inclinations. You might have, you know, a certain level of sensitivity, a spiritual sensitivity, and you know there's something bigger there. There's something that you could be doing. Like you may have, you know, dream experiences, journey experiences, like otherworldly experiences. Like it's common for people who have spiritual sensitivity to like know when something's going to happen. Like, oh, well, no, hold on, give me a minute, someone's going to ring the phone. Phone rings, you know. My matriarchal, like my dad's granny, always knew what time it was, without a watch, without a clock. People would ask her, what time is it? People would actually set their watch, their winder watch, by the mazzy, and then when the bells rang at the time, their watch was right. So, you know, there are different levels of sensitivity and skills and experiences, but those are things that we grow into. And so we need to offer ourselves some compassion first. We need to offer ourselves a bit of care and understanding, because we're going to stumble. We're going to get it wrong. We're going to make mistakes. But the only way we will ever fail is if we stop trying. If we are open, if we're willing to be curious, if we're willing to kind of keep going despite adversity, that always leads to success. No matter how long it takes, that still is the path to success. Like there's all of those quotes about, like, you know, well, actually, I'm not a Thomas Edison fan, but it's like, oh, no, I didn't find one way to make a light bulb. I found 2000 ways not to make a light bulb, you know. And sometimes you have to be willing to, you know, make the mistakes, get it wrong. But the only way to grow is to persevere, is to keep going. So things that hold back our growth is guilt, is shame. We have this expectation of self that is handed to us by others or by society or by parents or anyone else around us that we need to meet a certain level. We need to be like, you know, and sometimes we put those expectations on ourselves. And in some ways, they're good. They encourage us to kind of push that a little bit further, to go that little bit beyond, you know, to do that little bit more. And that's when those kind of expectations work for us. But when the expectations work against us, as someone who struggles with depression on a regular basis, takes the meds when he needs to. Also, if you can't make your own serotonin, store-bought is fine, you know, very much in favor of speaking about mental health. Expectations can be some of the most buckling, heavy chains that you end up dragging around the place. And in some cases, unless you query where those expectations are coming from, you might end up carrying chains that you don't really need to. You know, the legacy of me is an O'Sullivan. You know, oh yeah, you must be an O'Sullivan and carry on the O'Sullivan name, the O'Sullivan line. That was something that was hammered onto me absolutely as a kid. And it's only in my grown-up life I'm like, hold on, how many fucking O'Sullivans are in this country? It's not on me to carry on the entire O'Sullivan name. But what has actually happened is that my stepson, our eldest stepson, has taken my name. He's chosen to legally change his name to my name. So in a way, I have carried on the O'Sullivan name. In a way unlooked for, in a way unexpected, and in a way that I'm very fucking honored by. And I have feelings for that. But things that inhibit growth are hesitation, guilt, and shame. So it's okay, Lindsay, that you weren't ready at the time. Accept that. Embrace that. Know that as truth, know that as fact, but know that, you know, that is not who you are now. That isn't where you are now. You have grown and changed from that moment. Like, you know, the world has grown and changed around you. Transformation is occurring all of the time. So, like, embracing the past, acknowledging the past, knowing that it is the past, it is fact, it is truth, it is what happened. It informs where we go. It informs who we are now. And that then leads to decisions of where we go next. But it doesn't control us. And it doesn't have to define us. Because we get to choose. We have free will. And that is a very, very fucking powerful thing. And that is one thing I encourage a lot of people to be very firm about. Your will, your choice, your sovereignty. And I speak to it multiple times, like, you know, I have other videos about there about personal sovereignty. It's hugely fucking important. Standing within your own power, standing within your sense of self, your sense of identity, acknowledging everything that's come in the past, but being empowered by the fact that you're still here. You survived every single one of the days that you have lived. You have thrived and overcome every challenge you've ever been through. You're still here. And that is something to be honored. That is something to be respected of yourself, regardless of anyone else's opinion, regardless of deities or anything else. There's a huge power in embracing. And I mean every aspect. Like, there are parts of me I'm not proud of. There are parts of my past I didn't do the right thing. But I can be proud in this moment that I've learned of it. I've learned from it. I won't fucking do that again. And that's still part of who I am. I can't change the past, but I can live to be a better person from here on, acknowledging the information that I gained from it. So if you're feeling in any way disconnected or a lack of connection with deity or the Morrigan, and you're feeling that, like, you know, it might be because I said no at the time, let go of the guilt, let go of the shame, let go of the hesitation. Especially if you're feeling a call again, if you're feeling the need for that connection, the want for that connection, and like experiencing her in your life by, you know, turning up. And this is probably to move on from here to the next kind of steps, the kind of practical applications. What can you be doing? You're doing it by reading the lore, by reading the mythology, by exposing yourself to the information about her. You know, and you know, yes, a long time ago, there was a lot of fucking shit information about the market. There still is a lot of shit information about the Morrigan. The reason why the Irish Pagan School exists is to combat bad information. So, you know, that is the whole purpose of it. And like Laura has said it multiple times herself, she just wishes she had access to the right information at the beginning. It would have made everything so much fucking easier. And so in the absence of anyone else doing it, we're doing it. So that is why our school exists, to battle the misinformation that's out there. And yeah, it can be tricky. It can be difficult. And there's a lot of this. The Morrigan is a scary deity. She's a dark goddess, and a scary dark goddess, a battle goddess.
Hello, this is Laura O'Ryan, and I want to make sure that you get access to our free gift for you, which is the Roots and Reverence Ancestral Connection Toolkit. So this is a 5-day guided exploration, which will be delivered to you free over email series, and it's as enlightening as it is grounding. It's designed for anyone who feels a kinship with Irish paganism, whether you carry Ireland in your blood, your heart, or the soul memories of lifetime past. There is no cost, only the promise of authentic connection to Ireland, as ever from us. So go to irishpagan.school/roots, that's R-O-O-T-S, to get your ancestral connection toolkit. And again, it's all free, delivered free over 5 days. There's resources, there's exercises, there's connection, there's all sorts of cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. It is our free gift to you for being a valued podcast member. So back to the episode.
Yeah, okay. I've stood in the cave of Rathquahan. I've gone down into her fit abode, into that darkness, and I have felt a very primal personal fear by being in her presence. But that's not all she is. She is a multifaceted deity. She's not just some monochrome slot of, like, this is the battle goddess, fill in tick box here. You know, she's a fucking shapeshifter. They can be anything they want to be at any given moment based on the purpose and the agenda that she has going on. So, you know, it's worth acknowledging that. And when we talk about battle, we're not talking about, I think I touched on this in other recent videos, it's not industrialized warfare as we understand it today, where it's like mass eradication, genocide, and carnage. That is not what she is a goddess of. Battle was a core element of transformation. It was a point of change. It was a way of rationalizing or resolving kind of conflicts or difficulties of territory or, you know, fealty, loyalty, honor. Like, there were many different reasons for conflict. And so we're not talking about a war goddess, we're talking about a battle goddess. And our battles don't have to be blood, fists, and gore circumstances. Sometimes our battles are, I need to face my day, and I don't know if I have the strength of will to do it. I've lived that battle, and I'm grateful to say I've won it every time it's come up against me. So, again, the Morrigan gets a bad rap for being like, you know, oh, she's a scary, dangerous goddess. You wouldn't want to be like talking to, you know, this dark goddess of shadow and death. It's like, well, no, the Morrigan is a no bullshit goddess. The Morrigan will 100% be like, I will accept none of your shit. I will accept none of your excuses. I will accept none of your, you know, toxicity, abuses, or misrepresentation. Like, she 100% will call out people in a very direct way. And that can be intimidating. But when you're willing to take the lesson, when you're willing to, you know, be open to the teaching that she can provide, willing to climb over your own conflict, climb over our own, you know, hesitations, restrictions, limitations, then the transformation happens. Then we realize we're capable of so much more. We're capable of, you know, more than we ever gave ourselves credit for. And I have been honored and privileged to kind of see Morrigan people going through the Morrigan intensive course with us at the Irish Pagan School, or even going through the 5-day challenge. Actually, there's one, there's a resource. If you're looking, anyone looking for a resource, there's a free 5-day challenge on our Irish Pagan School for the Morrigan. Like, it's reading the lore of the Morrigan. I'll find a link and I'll put it in the description below. And it's literally 5 days. It's a dedication of 5 days where you turn up every single day and you read the next part of it, and you do a journey on it. Like, you give yourself the time to dedicate to yourself and your connection towards dedicating that information. Not in a dedication, I'm initiating myself into any practice or as a, you know, initiatory kind of thing. It is that if you are looking to build a connection towards a goddess, or you need to kind of turn up for yourself and then turn up for that relationship with the goddess and allow space for her to then come to you. So that 5-day challenge, it's free and it's available. I will definitely put the link in the description, because, you know, a lot of people have used that to deepen their connection, to kind of turn up for themselves and to go deeper with that, the Morrigan bond in that way. The next thing you mentioned there is distance. Yeah. If you're not in Ireland, things can feel very far away. I don't know if I have an answer for that, unfortunately, because I have the honor and the privilege of being in Ireland. But when we talk and think about deity, when we talk and think about goddesses and gods, they're not restricted in the same corporeal way that we are. You know, and there is, like, I've taken tour guides around. I have been a tour guide to take people around sacred sites in Ireland, and I've seen it happen to them. I've seen, like, the connection kind of fire up, and, like, the energy, the spike that they go through when they get to those places, not just the Cave of the Cats. I've taken people around Tara, and I've seen them have a connection moment, and it's honoring to see. So I won't say that doesn't happen. But what I will say is, you don't have to. Not everyone has the ability to kind of travel to Ireland. Not everyone has the capability, the mobility, the financial circumstances to do it. But the concept of the Irish otherworld is everywhere. You know, we know, even from the lore, in fact, like, people of Irish descent who kind of left out of Ireland, who had connections with a Lan and She, or a woman of the she followed him across the Atlantic. Like, you know, he still had the same bond with that. And that's where people of Irish descent have said to hear the Banshee, giving, like, the notice of death within the family as far away as Australia and, like, America, all around the place. If they're still connected to that Irish family bloodline. So, yeah, don't feel restricted by distance. You know, it might be something that you need to be more dedicated. Like, you know, some people like me, I had the honor of living like 15 minutes drive from the Hill of Tara. That was where I walked my dog. Before I even realized I was engaging in pagan practice, before I even considered myself, like, actually, you know, spiritually connecting with, I was performing spiritual devotion, pilgrimage every single day, going to the ancient site and walking around the boundary. You'd come into the hill. Most people go up to the left to the tourist, kind of the church at the top. I would go right. I go right the way down around the edge of the hill, and I'd end up coming all the way to full boundaries. And that was my daily walk with the dog. Only now, looking back on it, do I realize I was on spiritual pilgrimage, not even knowing it. But I had the honor and the luxury to be able to do that because I was here. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible to connect, or it's impossible to direct your intention and your energy towards a relationship with a deity without, like, because you're not in Ireland. You know, sometimes it's easier when you can get to these spaces, but it's not impossible. I know many people all over the world, they come and join us. They come and join us in our second Saturday sessions, and they share their stories about their interactions, going through Laura's journey meditation program, the experiences that they actually have, how all around the world, all over the States, even some people in Australia staying up till like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to turn up for our hangout sessions, talking about how these Irish gods have turned up for them in their life. And that's fucking huge. And so if it can work for other people, then it can work for you too. It can work for anyone. Like, if you're, again, aware of yourself first, building your own personal sovereignty, getting out of your own way, because I've done that too. I have absolutely stood in the way. My first experience with the Daita was his presence, very much aware of his presence, but I had no name to put on it, and I didn't want to know it. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to deal with that. And for about a year and a bit, I didn't deal with it until eventually Laura had to say his name out loud. The Daita bothered the Morrigan, for the Morrigan to bother her priest, Laura, who I was in a relationship, starting a relationship at the time, to say his name out loud in front of me. And that was the moment I was able to perceive that energy that had been hanging around me. So it's possible for us to get in our way. It's possible for us to set our will against these experiences, to shut it down. And for me, at the time, I wasn't ready. I know I wasn't ready. I wanted to get myself right first. And then when I approached it, I approached my relationship with deity on an even footing. with a strong sense of self first, a strong sense, not out of any ego of like, yeah, you have to fucking work for me or whatever. It's like, no, if I'm going to be useful, if I'm going to be able to turn up, if I'm going to be able to do anything here, I need to make sure that my baseline is right. So I don't break myself, buckle myself, or harm myself by overdoing, or I don't, you know, do it wrong. And like by in ill thought words or by incorrect actions, provide harm or misinformation to other people. That's one I still struggle with. You know, who the heck am I? Who am I to be doing any of this? But I still move forward in faith with my relationship with him, and people still randomly find my stories I wrote years ago about this, come across the classes, the free teachings, and they're like, holy fuck, that is the Dagda. That is my experience of the Dagda. I never knew someone else had that experience of the Dagda. And at those points, it's almost like a poke from him. He's like, on the back of the head, fucking told you, like. So, when you're ready, the connection will be there. If you choose it, because it's about your own will at the end of the day. And the hesitation is understandable. You know, guilt and shame are going to hold us back. But questions should always be held on to. Like, you know, should I be doing this? Why? You know, how do I go about this? Questions are always very healthy and should always be kind of maintained as we build our relationship with ourselves and then our relationship with our deities. So if it comes back to that, what would you recommend to connect with her? I'd recommend to, you know, allow for your past to be the past. Let go of anything like hesitations from the past, especially if you're feeling her call now. Like, she doesn't care about the fucking past. She has a plan for the future. She is a goddess of prophecy. She knows what's coming next, and she's going to define what's going to happen. That's going to be the way it is. So let go of the past. Start from where you are. And go forward. Go forward with reading the lore, engaging with the information, engaging with the community around the, you know, if you don't have community where you are, engage with our community. We have a Morrigan's Cave Facebook group. You know, it's specifically for Morrigan only content. Do not be going into that cave to talk about anything other than with the Irish Pagan School community. Is a group for, like, you know, Irish Pagan School students to talk about Irish Pagan School stuff. But there is a dedicated Morrigan group for Morrigan content. And so by being around other Morrigan focused people, that can really help. And then again, read the lore, stick to the recommendations, stick to the books. And again, I'm going to find that 5-day challenge and I'll put it in the links below, because that more than anything, it's a dedication of effort for yourself towards a deity. And whether they're accepting or wanting or interested at all, turning up for yourself in that moment, giving yourself that opportunity, can sometimes be all you need to do to feel ready and to feel prepared for your next step. So, Lindsay, I do hope that has answered your question. I have tried to be as complete in the answering as possible. But if you have any further follow-ups, put them in the comments below. If anyone else has come found something, is like, actually, could you speak more about that or whatever, throw in the comments below. We do read the comments. We check them like during the week to make sure that, like, you know, well, actually to moderate them, because some people say some terrible stuff about us in the comments, and, you know, we don't want anyone else exposed to that as much as we can. But yeah, we do read and connect with them there. So that is the purpose of that. Yeah, if again, make sure you're picking up on that free resources link, the resources guide to what we can currently stand over and point at as good resources for Irish paganism. And yeah, I think that ticks all the boxes. Make sure you're on the main list, make sure you're coming with us. And more importantly, most importantly of all, make sure you're looking after yourself. You're the only one of you that will ever be in existence. You're as unique as your fingerprint, your DNA, all the rest of that. And so, like, that of all of the millions of potential possible cell mutation merges that made you manifest as a human being, and then growing up in the culture where you grow and the landscape that you grow with, the family, with the group, with the society, so many variables to make you who you are, any of you at all who you are. that is a fucking wonder, and that is a miracle, and that is worth honoring and respecting for your sense of self, indeed. So from myself here at the Irish Pagan School, I will say, Gaurav Mahaga, thank you very much for being with us on this journey. Sláinte, which is the Irish word for your health. Do take care, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fóill, and we will see you next time.